Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast those peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Greg Rosinski, ESPN senior hockey writer and host of Puck Soup Podcast, will be joining us at 4:06. And the king of Whaler Nation will be joining us at 4:35. So.
Well, I thought that was you.
Look, I just show up. I mean, I'm lucky they let me on the other 4 days. I'm telling you, he's taken over the market. I'm glad he can't do play-by-play. Even he concedes that's a little bit difficult.
Yeah. Say that could cause some uneasiness at the next backyard barbecue or the Jones family reunion. So.
Well, see, what he gets all hung up on is the Open. All right, so that's...
Wait, which Kevin are we talking about here?
He was told in his broadcasting class it was the single most important thing on the entire, you know, that, like, if you obsess over that, you're in good shape. You do know there's 3.5 hours of game after that, right? He still gets mad at me about the Rose Bowl. I'm talking about suit, Kevin.
Yeah.
Still gets mad at me about the Rose Bowl.
Hey, that was a day where less was more to set the table, you know? There was a lot of table setting going on a month prior to that game, so.
I said there are only 4-5 words you need to set the tone for today's game. Welcome to the Rose Bowl. what are you supposed to do after that? After a dramatic season, up and down, and they come out and win. Well, by the time that's done, you're in the second quarter. Oh, okay, come on. let's play ball. Everybody's here for the game. Let's play ball. Oh my goodness. He's laughing in his back office somewhere.
He seemed to be moving a lot, a more brisker pace up and down the hall today. At least I noticed that. Maybe that's something to do with today being Friday, or has to get out of here and do some Mother's Day shopping. The day of the golf tournament.
Okay, I knew it wasn't as serious as everybody thought, because we got to the parking lot and I had to drop him off. And I dropped a $5 bill on the road. He bent down right away like there was no issue whatsoever. Okay, so come on.
It was windy that afternoon. That part of the afternoon was windy. You just want to make sure it didn't end up down the hill on the strip. So.
Look, just to let you know, I have an acid test. Everything seemed to be functioning very well when there was money on the table. By the way, I still have to find out from Adam Purdy as to which one of us actually won. I still have to find out from Adam as to which one. Although Engel was ready. How about Engel? Engel was ready to put him on waivers at the turn.
Yeah.
Cool. What kind of team is this?
Yeah.
Anyway, I put Engel and the suit together.
Hey, there you go. What other two would play on that group?
Well, by the fourth hole, the corner may have to be called, but that's all right. Okay, so I'm watching some of the Yankees and Red Sox last night, and I'm sure that the King will bring this up an hour from now. because the Yankees took two out of three, and the two teams are now tied for first. The Yankees are playing great baseball. But the Phillies have done a little bit of this, and I like it. Right? And the Pirates have done none of this. The Yankees are, for the most part, a homegrown team. Aaron Judge threw the system. Gary Sanchez, man, he played against the Spikes. Right? Torres, Andujar, Hicks. I mean, they're a homegrown. I mean, even go all the way back to Brett Gardner, for goodness sakes, a veteran. I mean, they got a lot of homegrown talent on that team. So they felt they needed something else. So when they needed something else, they traded. Okay, remember, Stanton did not come over as a free agent. They traded for him. And they got him in there, and in this series, he had a couple of big home runs. All right, so they brought in an outside entity in the trade with star power to go with the homegrown talent they already have. Look at the Red Sox. The Red Sox, for the most part, are a homegrown team, too. You know, Pedroia, who didn't play in the series, he's not going to play till the 25th of May. But Pedroia, Bogarts, Devers, Benintendi, Betts, Bradley, Vasquez. I mean, I just named 7 out of 9 starters. I include the DH. 7 out of 9 guys that came up through the system. But they needed something else to go with it. And so they went out and they signed J.D. Martinez because they knew they needed more power. They never adequately replaced David Ortiz. And who hit the game-winning home run last night in the 8th inning? J.D. Martinez. Again, the ability to add in a part to go with what your system has already done. And your system can help you in other ways. I mean, the Red Sox acquired Chris Sale in a trade with the White Sox. And Chris Sale's not a free agent, you know. Craig Kimbrell was a trade. He was not a free agent. They were able to make deals, make trades for people. So that's what you have. And the Phillies have done that. I think Arrieta is going to be a fabulous addition. They brought in Santana from the Indians. I think that's going to pay off because he brings that philosophy to the table that makes a big difference. The ability to get on base. The Pirates have it. And I bring that up because Andrew McCutchen is now going back to Pittsburgh. I understand the Pirates have a different budget. And this is where local media rights make a huge, huge difference. What the Yankees get from Yes Network and from their radio network, and what the Red Sox get from NESN and from WEEI, they're not in the same category as what the Pirates get from their local radio deal and also from AT&T Root Sports Network. It's not the same. So they do have less to work with there. But remember, and this seems to be the forgotten piece in all of this, every Major League Baseball team, I'm trying to remember the settlement. The settlement, I think it was with an online entity. Each team got $50 million. $50 million. Well, no offense. If Bob Nutting is sitting here, I'm asking, what'd you do with the $50 million? Is it just sitting in an escrow account? What's it doing? Now, maybe it's being used for ballpark improvements. I don't know. But each team got $50 million. What are you doing with the $50 million? The biggest complaint that the Yankees organization has had over the years about the luxury tax has been simple. The luxury tax was meant for the bottom teams to take that money and then invest it in personnel. And what's happened over the years is many of the bottom teams have taken the money from the luxury tax and they've kept it. But the Phillies added in Santana, great move. Added in Arrieta, great move. The Pirates dealt away Gerrit Cole, and they dealt away Andrew McCutchen. Now, maybe the shelf life on both was at a certain level for the Pirates. Okay, I understand that. But if I hear anybody go gaga again over Colin Moran, I mean, are you kidding me? Come on. You know, I give him credit for being in the major leagues because it's very, very difficult to make it to the major leagues. So that I completely respect and understand. Okay? But you need something else. You need something else. There's also one other piece it's kind of difficult because it is a subscription. Talking about The Athletic is subscription. I decided a few weeks ago to subscribe because I thought, you know what? You know, I want to get in tune with as many of the really great writers in the country. I want to see what, for example, like a Jason Stark is writing. And, you know, I missed seeing that. I miss hearing him in the air. So he wrote a piece for The Athletic entitled Five Ideas That Help Put Action Back into Baseball. And, I mean, he talks about limiting shifts. That was one. He says shrink the strike zone. Okay, that was two. Limit mid-inning pitching changes. Okay, that was another idea he had. Change the ball, batter, the mound. You know, they talk about spin rates because of the seams on the ball. Last time they lowered the mound was 1968. I watched the part of the World Series on a black and white TV. You're saying, why did you only watch part of the World Series? That's because Kevin comes out, he'll tell you. He says, during the 68 World Series, our TV went out. And all we had was a black and white TV. Black and white TV, four channels. I think maybe we had a fifth one, an independent channel. A black and white TV, five channels. The TV went out there in the World Series. We never got a chance to watch it. Because the TV didn't come back until after the World Series was over with. Hey, that's why, for example, and you know what? It depends on when you grew up. But, for example, I went out at Christmas and bought, I don't know how big this dang thing is. 50 inches, maybe? I don't know. Flat screen TV. I appreciate that thing every time I turn it on. Why? Because I grew up with a black and white 13-inch, and we thought that was like, hey, we got a 19-inch. Whoa! Kind of blown away. It's a bigger picture in black and white. That's what we grow up with. I didn't know any better. Let's see. Jason Stark points out pitchers with average fastballs at 97 miles per hour. Okay. In 2008, there was one. 2013, there was six. Last year was 23. 95 miles an hour better. 22 in 2008. 2013 at 45. 98 in the majors last year. Could throw 95 or better. But then he gets to this other part. And that is what we talk about all the time. That this game has become a game of home runs, strikeouts, and walks. We discuss this all the time in the show. Okay? Dan O'Dowd told Jason Stark, quote, we have lost a generation of players who don't know how to play. He said, what's happened is we don't have any players out there who know how to play offense. And he's right. You have a lot of players out there in Major League Baseball that don't know how to play offense. They are swinging for the downs all the time. And Jason Stark says you have the usual list of Statcast metrics: average exit velocity, average home run distance, average general velocity, average launch angle, average height. As he points out, there's nothing wrong with any of those metrics. And then he writes, except for one thing. And O'Dowd says, quote, everything we do in the game now is focused on what? Hitting the ball out of the ballpark. Why can't we create metrics that focus on players in the game who help produce runs by putting the ball in play or even with productive outs? Okay. Which then gets to what I have. There are a couple of the metrics where I have absolute disagreement with. All right, and nothing is going to change my mind on this. Hey, you can give me all the stats you want till you come home, and I know you're wrong. I know it. It's just simple. Okay? WAR, wins above replacement. What the heck kind of stupid stat is that? All right? Here's one for you. Okay? If Giancarlo Stanton goes out of the Yankees lineup, I'm going to assume they're not as good. I got it. Don't need to know the number. I've already figured it out all by myself. Aaron Judge gets hurt. Not going to be as good. Okay, I got it. I mean, anyone with a brain can see that. So I don't need a stat for it. And then there's the part. Then there's this one. And you're going to get intense argument from those who believe in sabermetrics. But they now have everyone convinced that a strikeout is like any other out. Now, on paper, that's correct. Except for this. Everyone's been convinced that strikeouts, walks, homers. All right? That's the game. Only one team in the last 10 years... One has been in the top five in home runs, the top five in walks, and the top five in strikeouts and won the World Series. You know that? So 2013 Red Sox. Everyone else, no. The Astros last year made a dramatic move. Guess what they cut down on last year? Dramatically. Strikeouts. Kansas City Royals, what changed for them? They cut down on strikeouts. Remember, when you hit the ball, the door is open for a lot of things to happen. An error, throwing to the wrong base, a lot of different things can happen when the ball is put into play. Not all outs are the same. Ground ball to the right side, guy goes from second to third. Okay? If you strike out, nobody's moving. Fly ball to right field, guy tags, goes from second to third. Okay? Doesn't happen on a strikeout. Then all of a sudden there's a wild pitch, pass ball, balk, and guess what? The guy scores from third. So, strikeouts, eh? It's like any other out. No, it's not like any other out. Putting the ball in play leads to the possibilities of other things. Now, a strikeout, you know, and that's something that is remarkable. That's a powerful piece of information about outcomes. Strikeouts, walks, homers. Only one of the last 10 World Series champions finished in the top five in all three of the true of what's called the true outcomes. Strikeouts, walks, homers. Only one. The other nine, no. John Smoltz, whom I really, really like as an analyst. Smart. He says, strikeouts are kryptonite. Say, look at the Royals, look at the Giants. The Astros last year got all the strikeouts out of their lineup. In other words, they got rid of Gomez and a couple of other guys. He said, when you look at the champions the last few years, not one team fits the analytical three true outcomes model. Not one. Zero. Yeah, everyone's convinced that that is how you win today. And if you have the gall to bring it up, what gets me about sabermetrics people is they have no concept of incorporating some old style with some great ideas that they have. Because sabermetrics people have some great ideas. But if you have a different idea, they don't like it. They get mad about it. Have you ever talked to somebody who's into sabermetrics? They get mad at you when you're like, no, 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 wait a minute, wait a minute. Let's use a common sense approach here. But the three true outcomes, which is a key component, doesn't work with teams that actually win it all. Now, why is that? Why is it the Giants, the Royals, and the Astros statistically cut way back on strikeouts and got over the top? Now, why is that? Now, believe me, walks to me, okay? Batting average gets you a higher contract. On base percentage wins games. I don't care how you get on base. Now, when you're up for your contract, you care. You want to get on base by base hit. All right, today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Wishing you could go back to your teens is a nice thought. Wishing you could buy a brand new 2018 car priced in the teens is unheard of. Not at Sunbury Motors Kia. Wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia. It's 20 under 20. 20 vehicles for under 20 grand. Sunbury Motors Kia has 20 new 2018 Kia Rios, Optimus, Souls, and Fortes for under $20,000. Sunbury Motors Kia makes it easy to own a brand new 2018 Kia. 20 under 20. Don't get badgered by other dealers. Sunbury Motors Kia can get you into a 2018 Kia for under 20 grand. You can go back to your team. Plus, all have Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And SMC has over 25 certified pre-owned Kias to choose from, too. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf, and at sunburymotorskia.com.
Offer expires 531-18. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That sounds like a big goal because I'm just trying to do a sustainable show. What the... Can we somehow sustain this thing? Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, and the Brewers Outlet specials between now and Tuesday. Black Label 24-pack cans, just $9.95. New Belgian 15-pack cans, $15.95. And don't forget about the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Absolutely second to none. I was properly stocked up for my trip back. Perfect. Had another one last night. All right. The coach's caravan. There were several interesting items that came out. We've talked about some of it. The conversation about the Pitt series and so forth. And you know, nothing about the Pitt series has been said that I have been saying for how many years. Like, here's what my interest is. My interest is, as a guy that broadcasts Penn State football, if Pitt is an avenue to getting you to a national championship, I'm all for it. If somebody else is a better avenue to getting yourself into the college football playoff, then I'm for that. Whatever it happens to be. And I've also, and I'm also somebody that's enjoyed the variety of team over the years. I don't want to be in an Iowa situation where Iowa has to play Iowa State every year. Guess what happens? Iowa then doesn't end up playing anybody else in the Power Five. Yeah, how about a home and away with Tennessee? How about a home and away with Arizona State? How about a home and away with Georgia? Iowa can't do it. They got 9 conference games, and they got this game. It's like having 10 of them. They really have their hands tied because they're stuck playing Iowa State. Now, if you have 8 games, all right, now that's a different ball game. 8 conference games, you can be like Alabama, you can be like Clemson. You can toy around with the schedule. But when you got 31 sports, those other 2 games, this year it's Appalachian State and Kent State, you got to have them in Beaver Stadium. You have to. Get that 7 home games. It's part of the financial formula to be as competitive as possible in the other sports. And that's just the way it is. It's one of those realities. So with 8 games, see, Pitt's in the ACC. They can have 8 conference games. They've got tremendous scheduling flexibility. Remember last year they played Penn State here. They went home and they played Oklahoma State. I mean, you can have the kind of schedule flexibility when you have 8 conference games, but with 9, you really lose. It becomes you really do get your hands tied a bit as to what you can do with your schedule, because you'd like to have some adventure in the schedule. I mean, Penn State's going to play Virginia Tech. Good. They're going to play Auburn. Really good. And I am absolutely in favor of whatever schedule is needed to get to the college football playoff. And if that means Pitt's there, I'm all for it. If it means it's somebody else, I'm all for that. I mean, that's me. That's how I look at it. I'm looking at it big picture. I'm not looking. You can't. To me, what is your goal here? Is your goal to be the champion of Pennsylvania? Or is your goal to win the whole darn thing? Well, I've been brought up through a system where the goal's been to play for national championships. Well, how do you get there? And again, if Pitt's part of that avenue, I'd say go for it. But if it's somebody else, I go with somebody else.
Yeah, if you're looking at the past 10 years, okay, we'll go 11 years. I mean, the 2 non-conference games that really jump out at me, Notre Dame 2007, and just earlier this decade, Alabama. I mean, you couldn't wait to get into that stadium, especially for the Alabama game, and it was just great to, you know, commiserate with Alabama fans out while we were tailgating, and they were so wonderful and warm and courteous and gracious and loved the hospitality that Penn State fans gave them. But yeah, I mean, those, you know, teams like that have Power 5 cachet, you know, national championship aspirations like Penn State does too.
That's what you want. You know, that's what you want. I mean, a home and away with Auburn. I mean, imagine how the fan. Now, you don't know how it plays out years down the road. You don't know that. I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. Penn State had a home and away with Syracuse in 8 and 9. So in 8 and 9, Penn State gets a home and away with Syracuse. Syracuse was not very good at all. And people were complaining, but again, they set up the series years ago. When did they set up the series? Oh, they set up the series when Paul Pasqualoni was the coach, and they were winning 10 games a year. Well, how did they know that Paul Pasqualoni was going to get fired, and how did they know they were going to fall to the depths? When they scheduled the series, Syracuse was on a pretty good roll. So sometimes it can be hard to project. Auburn is usually a program, though, that gives you that upper echelon feeling.
And just the way things are now in college football, you have to schedule that far ahead of time. You really can't rein it back, right?
Well, if you don't, somebody else is going to schedule. I mean, you're kind of held hostage by what everybody else is doing. Now, college basketball is a little different, and we'll have Patrick Chambers on the show Monday. But in college basketball, you're scheduling non-conference year to year. Now, in the Big Ten, you talk about going to more conference games, and football ties your hands because now you only have three openings. And look, Penn State needs seven home games because of the formula needed to have 31 sports. Okay. So that gives you that flexibility to really schedule one blockbuster non-conference game. Basketball is different in that the Big Ten this year is going to 20 games. And not only going to 20 games, they're going to be in a non-exempt tournament like they are every year. And this year it's going, I think everybody knows where it's going to be. It's going to be south of the border. But that also brings with it two home games at the Jordan Center. So that's four. So now we're at 24 games on your schedule out of 31. Penn State will have the ACC Challenge game. Right? Most likely, not guaranteed, but most likely that game's here. And then they've got the Gavitt games. Penn State played DePaul in the Gavitt games 3 years ago. They have not been in the Gavitt games since, so it's Penn State's turn to get back in it. And since Penn State played a home game already in it, the odds would be the game would be on the road. Now, that could be anybody in the Big East. Who knows? It could be Villanova, it could be Georgetown, it could be Seton Hall, St. John's. Could be, you know, but it also could be Creighton or Marquette. Yeah, you don't know. Or it could be DePaul again. So now we're up to 26 games. That means you only have five more games to schedule. Now, one of them is going to be at Duquesne. They still haven't returned that game, so that's going to be in, I think, mid-December. And then they've got another game that they're close to announcing. Okay, but you only have now five games in your non-conference to schedule because all the other ones are taken care of. And in reality, the most you're going to get where you have to schedule in any given year is going to be six, where you actually schedule your six games. All the other ones are pre-scheduled for you. I'll give you an example about tournaments. Brooklyn last year, Penn State played Pitt and they played Texas A&M. But what people don't realize, and I was explaining this at the quarterback club board meeting. Yes, I had a board meeting last night. I tried to play golf yesterday. Okay, I'll get to that in a second. I was explaining about the basketball schedule, and I said, they get into these non-exempt tournaments. I said Brooklyn was a good example. I said they play Texas A&M and Pitt, but what people didn't realize is that Montana and Oral Roberts were also a part of that tournament. It just turned out the games were here. Well, the same thing with this tournament coming up this year. There'll be two Jordan Center games. So with 20 Big Ten games and a tournament like that and the ACC Challenge, you're automatically at 25. The Gavitt games comes back into play for Penn State. So since it's their turn to be in it, boom, now you're 26. That only leaves you five games to schedule. So that's how that part works. Then there was a statement by James Franklin about lateral moves by assistant coaches. In other words, he wants to stop that. And you know what? I don't blame him. He's ended up with a really good staff out of it. Jaywan Sider is really good. Tyler Bowen's been terrific. And Joe Moorhead leaving to be a head coach, for goodness sakes. I mean, if you're going to be an assistant coach and you're at Penn State, to me, if you become a head coach, you become a coordinator, that's different. But he's talking about lateral moves, and this goes back to something I talked about last week. And any person that has ever asked me, in a position of authority, and I talked to Patrick about this. I don't know if I've ever talked to James about it. I don't think I ever have talked to James about this, but I've talked to Patrick about it. because we were talking about his contract a couple weeks ago. You know, it's a private conversation. I'm not going to get into everything we're talking about. Right? And I said, I don't think I ever told you the story about when you were up for the job. And he goes, no. He said, I never have heard this. I said, you know, Tim came up to me and I'm talking about Tim Curley. And I said, I remember all three of you flew to Charlotte and were interviewed there. He goes, oh, you knew about Charlotte? I said, yeah, I knew. And he said, because he didn't want to interview anybody in State College. So you bring the candidates to a hub airport, and US Air's hub happens to be Charlotte. It's one of them. I said, away from everybody where you can just conduct business. And I said, when he came back, I ran into the hallway, and I said, you know, how'd it go? He goes, I don't know. I got to weigh some things out. He says, do you have any thoughts? I said, yeah. I told Patrick this. I said, look, I saw him coach in Puerto Rico. I said, I've seen all of them coach. I said, but I saw him coach in Puerto Rico against Indiana, and I saw him coach against Kansas in the NCAA tournament. I said, I don't know him, but I said, my gut tells me Pat Chambers. And he smiled. He goes, okay. He said, but there's one other part that I think is really important. And he said, what's that? I said, Tim, you know how I feel about this. I said, I feel that anybody who takes a Penn State job should feel like it's the job. And I said, I don't care what it is. Athletic director, head football coach, head basketball coach, play-by-play announcer, I said, offensive coordinator, associate head basketball coach. I mean, they should feel like as the associate head basketball coach, it is the associate head basketball coach of all of jobs in the country. I said, I think whomever takes a Penn State job should feel like it's the job. I said, that's the attitude that, quote, we have to have around here every day about everything we do. You know, Penn State fans are the best fans. And they deserve to have people working there who think it is the place to be. And I think Pat's, you know, with that extension that he has, has worked very hard trying to make sure that Penn State's a destination job and it's a destination for him. But that's something I felt very strongly about. And I've articulated this for years privately to people when I've been asked. It's not, you know, again, it's not my place to volunteer. But if I'm asked, then I give opinions. And I said, part of it is, look, a lot of people can do this coaching and that kind of recruiting and so forth. I said, you can sort all that out. I said, but in the end, I want a person who thinks that the Penn State job is the job. And that's why it goes back to James talking about lateral moves. You want people who are here who think that this is the place to be. And Penn State's done well enough in so many different areas where it's proven it can be the place to be. And you can make a really nice living and have a really, really great program because of all the resources that you have. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.